you to our worship service on this beautifully crisp fall, soon to be fall, morn on the 17th of Sunday after Pentecost. We're grateful that you're here. We've got a lot of folks traveling and some that will be traveling, so let's keep those in prayer. We'll mention one in particular in our prayer request. But if you'll look, there are a couple of announcements I want to draw your attention to. I'll be leaving this week to go to a conference, and we'll be gone through Sunday. Andy Banky will be preaching this coming Sunday, and keep he and Ann in prayers. They're in Pennsylvania this weekend, and we just want to lift that up. The next healing and prayer service will be the September the 29th, and then on the second weekend of October, we have a lot of opportunities for you to eat and gain weight. Several have asked, and there are a couple flyers if you're interested. They had for the Shriners Hospital, they had a shrimp feast in the spring, and now they're having an oyster feast. All you can eat oysters and fish and seafood chowder and whatnot. Information on the back. That's on the 11th of October, and of course that supports the Shriners Children's Hospital. And then I'm really looking forward to the next day. We're having the annual Wendy Ruth's stew down at Kelly's Farm, just a great time. I hope it's nice, cool weather, and the stew's always good, and that supports Parkview Ministries. How many years have you done that now in a row?
Has it been? Yeah, I lost track.
But bring for that one, bring a chair or bring a side. You'll be able to not only eat the stew there, but if you want to buy something to take home and support Parkview, I'm looking forward to that weekend. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. And I want to start with praise. I had a real joy a few minutes ago. I was telling Barry that one of my favorite songs as a teenager was a song by Mac Davis that was entitled "Happiness is Lubbock, Texas in My Rearview Mirror." And I am grateful to welcome a new Virginian to our state. L. Jean, it's good to see you. We've been keeping you in prayer, and I know you enjoy being around family. Glad that you are here. So we give praise to the Lord for that. We also want to lift up the many people that are traveling and some yet to be traveling this coming week. So, and in light of that, two accident-related prayer requests I have that aren't in the bulletin. We give praise to God that Kelly Kirch's grandson, Kyle, was hit at, on 460 this weekend. It wasn't his fault. Someone ran into him, a motorcycle, but it totally totaled his car, but he's bruised up. But we're just grateful for airbags and the protection of God that kept Kyle safe. On another hand, and I don't know if they're related, but Sue just told me her daughter Amy teaches at Appomattox Christian Academy. One of Amy's co-teachers, a Ms. Fry, her son Nicholas was in a serious accident, and he had to be airlifted to Carilion, and he's in critical condition. So let's keep Nicholas in our prayers and the Fry family, and we'll keep you posted. Any other prayer requests that anyone would like to lift up? Yes, sir, Robert.
I want to keep my family in the prayer.
Let's keep Evelyn in our prayers. We had her service on Thursday. We just want to keep her in prayer. Anyone else? Mom.
Greg.
Let's keep Greg Anderson in our prayers. Yes, Glenn.
Yeah, let me ask prayer for Ruth, please. She'll be having her open heart surgery on October the 1st. And we'll have to be down there on the 29th. So I appreciate all the prayers that we've been.
Amen. We will definitely be praying even now. And we just take comfort in knowing that before the foundation of the world. This was in God's plan, and he will be present. We'll be keeping Ruth in prayer and all those involved. And you as well, brother. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and holy Father, we thank you on this beautiful day that the true beauty of every day is not the weather. It's not the circumstances that we're going through. It's not the state of the world. It's not anything other than the fact that we know every morning we arise to your mercies, new and fresh every day. You give us this day as a gift in which we are able to, early in the morning, first thing out of our mouth, to open our lips, and we will declare the praise of a gracious Father who sent his Son, that we not only would have life, abundant life, but eternal life in Christ Jesus. We thank you for an opportunity to come together to worship, and as always, our worship is where two or three are gathered in your name. We worship as one, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one voice from your people. And we're grateful to be able to welcome and to just have Elgene in our presence today. We thank you for your watch care over her, not only her entire life, but over this past year and the logistics of such a big geographical move. But we just pray that it'll continue to go well. We rejoice in that. We pray that you would continue to be with all those that have listed. In particular, we lift up Greg as he's taking his radiation treatments. We pray that they would be effective, and may the side effects be kept to a minimum. We pray that you'll continue to be with Evelyn and with Robert and with all the family that is just still grieving the loss of Philip. And we pray, even now, that you will prepare Ruth for this surgery date, prepare her body, give her a peace that passes all understanding, and may that peace be doubly felt on her husband. May they both know that they're in the center of our care and love and prayers, but their greatest comfort and strength is that they know that they are the apple of your eye, and you are holding them and this procedure in your prayers. We pray that you'll be with all those that are traveling or will be traveling. Give safety. We thank you for the protection of Kyle. But we also lift up this other young fellow, Nicholas. We don't know any of the details, but we know the God of all details. So we just pray that you'll be with all those involved in his care and recovery, strengthen his body, bring him back to health. We ask these things, for you told us to cast our cares upon you, for you truly care for us. You care enough that you allow us to come into your presence to worship you. So through Christ Jesus, we do that and offer this prayer. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, wash our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 116, the first 8 verses, to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing, stand up for Jesus. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to hear me whenever I call upon him.
The cords of death entangled me. The grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living.
Oh, a reading from God's Word revealed to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 10. The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from the Epistle of the Apostle James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. you praise, glory, laud, and honor, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out, convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do an overview. This is the third of sort of a mini little series I've done on the Christian soldier. And from Ephesians, if you have your scripture, turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. The first week we looked at who our enemy is. Last week we looked at what our enemy's tactics were. And today we're going to talk about what is our armor? What tools, what weapons, what do we have given to us for that? So grace and peace be unto you in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have fond memories, which I think about often, and one of my biggest regrets, and that is the time I spent in Boy Scouts. And my biggest regret is that I got to life and after that dropped out. But I loved my time in Boy Scouts. And we all, whether you were a Boy Scout or not, do you remember the Scout motto? Which is, be
prepared.
Huh?
Prepared.
Yeah, it's prepared. Be prepared. And it fit my personality. Because I like gear. I like gadgets. If I'm honest about it, I think I almost like the collecting of the gear as much as I do the using of the gear. Whether it's fishing gear when I went through that, or kayaking when I went through that, or hiking. I just like gear. I like equipment. I like gadgets. And I like this passage that we're going to look at because it speaks of being prepared in the gear we need But I want to begin in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And then we looked at what we wrestle with or what wrestle not. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore. You get the impression he really cares that we can stand in the time of trouble. He uses it four times, this command to stand. And it's quite interesting as we begin the part of Ephesians that talks about practical instructions in the beginning of chapter 4, he takes a different approach. He says, brothers, I beg of you, I beseech you, I sort of plead as a prisoner. But he's gone from begging them to do things to making an imperative command. You must stand. It's an imperative. And the problem that maybe too many Christians have, that I had with a whole lot of my gear collecting, is I love to collect the gear, but guess what I didn't do? I didn't use it. I just like having it. I just like looking at it. I just like cataloging. I just like talking about and accumulating gear. But like that gear, the Christian armor is made to be worn. It's not just something that we're to look at or admire. Paul is definitive. He's imperative that you must put this armor on, or you won't be able to stand. So let's go through each piece. Very simple sermon, but I hope the Spirit will use it to remind us that we are well equipped. We can be prepared because the Lord has provided all that we need to be able to stand in these evil days. We see in verse 14, the first is stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Fastened on the belt of truth. The King James Version uses, and I like it because it has a better understanding of it, is girdle. Now, we don't use the word girdle much anymore. Don't know if they even make girdles. But girdles in this context was basically what held everything else together. What held everything else together? And it's quite fitting that he begins this, because if we lose truth, if we deny that there is truth, if we talk about relative truth or everyone has their own truth, that's an oxymoron. As soon as you say truth is relative, it's not either. It's not truth. If we give up truth, we fall apart. Often used motif or practice, especially in physical comedy, and you can think of situations, you can think of things where this happens, and Three Stooges or other things, where often someone will be in the midst of doing something and their belt will come loose, and you know, it's hard to fight the bad guys when your pants are trying to fall down. I mean, you just can't do it. The belt is what holds it all together. And what Paul is saying is, it is a gift from God that we have truth. We don't want to be, but unfortunately the modern church is all too often where Pilate was when he was looking right and standing right in the presence of truth, and he said, what is truth? We don't want to be in a situation where we don't know what truth is. We know what truth is, and it comes first, and it holds everything together, and you know what truth is, because truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we lessen that, we're going to fall apart. If we give up on truth, If I didn't believe that this word from on high is absolute truth, I'd go home. And I'd send you to go home. And I'd say, you better cower in your closets. Because if we don't have truth, everything else falls apart. And I think we see that in our society as there's been a total denial that there is any truth, and the whole thing has fallen apart. And Paul begins, you need this truth like a girdle to hold it all together. But then he goes on, and having put on, the end of verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. This protects our hearts from the fiery darts of the accuser. And we know, as truth is Jesus Christ, when we put on righteousness, for we have none of our own, to put on righteousness, we ought to know who is our righteousness. Christ. We are to put on this breastplate that protects our emotions. We live looking, knowing honestly our own shortcomings and failings, and we're tempted to listen to the accusations that are shot our way. That we don't earn enough, and we don't make enough, and our teeth don't shine enough, and there's things we must do. We're reminded all the time, or you don't measure up. We have bosses that will tell us we don't measure up. We have family members that say you don't belong. We have others that just throw these darts. And we need that righteousness of Christ to protect our emotions. One of my favorite chapters in one of my favorite books is another letter of Paul, and that's Romans 8. And in Romans 8:33, we read, who can bring any accusation against God's elect? Who can throw any dart toward one of God's children? And it goes on to say, in a newer translation, God is the only one whose opinion matters. We protect our heart, we protect our thinking and our emotion, knowing that the only opinion that matters, Paul says in Romans 8:33, against all these accusations, the only opinion that matters is God's. And we don't have to question God's opinion, because he says it 32 verses earlier in Romans 8:1, where he says, there is thou therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. See how valuable this armor is? Amidst all the calls for shame, we can say, I am in Christ Jesus. Not my own righteousness, but I'm going to put on this righteousness of Christ that protects my heart. He goes on to look at the third piece. And his shoes for your feet have put on the readiness given by the gospel of Christ. I like the way the NLT says this. It says, shoes, the peace that comes from the good news. So let me ask you again, and I think you're starting to see a pattern here. If Christ is our truth, and Christ is our righteousness, who is our peace? Christ. And we stand in that. We stand in that. If you've done anything physically, whether it's boxing or working in the yard or golfing or anything else, if you don't have a firm footing, you're unstable. If you aren't properly grounded, you're not going to be able to stand. And we understand that our grounding is the peace of Christ that comes from not getting our world in order, but having this peace that knows we are standing in and grounded thoroughly, and we can stand. The opposite of peace, of course, is anxiety. The opposite of peace is anxiety. And see, when we have the peace and we're grounded in the peace, then we're free to move on. Like Christ in Philippians 2, when we have this settled and we know that we don't have to grasp at equality with God, then we're free to set aside our privileges and serve others. When we are standing firm, knowing that I've got the peace of Christ, then we're free to move on. When we're anxious, we're immobilized. And even if we move on mechanically, we're not enjoying the trip very much. And so what Paul is saying, another gift is that we're not being tossed to and fro. Our peace is not going with each thing that brings us anxiety. But our peace is that which grounds us, allows us to stand. The fourth one we see, verse 16, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith. Our faith is the faith of Christ. Now let me talk a little bit about this shield. This shield was a fairly large item. If you picture a small refrigerator, it was a fairly large rectangular item, and it was intended not to be carried individually. There was a shield that was a personal shield that you would carry individually, and it was for you and you alone. But that's not the shield that Paul is speaking of here. This shield is a larger shield, and it was intended to be brought alongside of another's shield. And you put these shields together, and in essence, you create a wall, a barrier. And we think here of that passage where the four friends open up the ceiling to let the paralytic down, and Jesus Christ healed him because he saw their faith. And the beautiful thing here is this shield of faith that Paul is saying is not you've got to individually carry the game of faith on your own. I love in the passage today when the response to Jesus, because it's your response and it's mine most of the time, isn't it? We truly look to the Lord and say, we believe. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe. But we also have that follow-up rejoinder, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He does that through His Spirit. He does that through His Word. But He also helps my unbelief by having others whose faith is also beside my own. And together we're walking through this. Together, when I'm weak, you're strong. And hopefully when you're struggling, I or someone else can be a help. But we're not doing it as lone rangers. We're putting our faith together. It's a communal faith. The other thing about this shield is you can read where they were usually covered by leather. They would take and cover the shield with brads by leather, and then they would soak the leather in water. Why do you think they would soak the leather in water? So when the enemy's fiery darts would come, the shield would not only protect you from the point of the arrow, but the wetness of the saturated leather would quench and put out, extinguish the fiery dart from the enemy. You've been studying the scripture long enough. You know what the water is symbolized over and over in scripture, and that's the word. And Paul will say this in Romans 10. How do we build our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So as we do our personal devotions, as we listen to music that's full of scripture, as we study the scriptures, we come together and hear it read. I want you to get a mental image. You're soaking your faith shield. And you may not need it today, but your sister right beside you might. And you may not need it today, but 2 weeks down the road you might. So we constantly are soaking it in the word of the Lord. That leads to the Next, the fifth piece, we see that verse 17, we take the helmet of salvation. We adopt the mind of Christ, Paul tells us in Philippians 2. We take this mind, and we know from Romans 12 that we are to renew our mind. We're to transform it through the renewal. You know, the evil one wants to spoil our thinking. If Satan can get into our thinking, he doesn't need to do much else. I used to like, as a kid, watching a show that was funny, but really bad theology. Do you remember the Flip Wilson show? And you remember what he would always say when, you know, what was it, Geraldine or something? And they would say, she would say, the devil made me do it. You know, the devil's really, if we read in Scripture from the garden until now, the devil really doesn't have to work that hard. Liars and deceivers, they don't need to do a whole lot. They just need to get the listener to listen to them and let that get into their mind. And once it's in your mind, it goes to work. And then we wind up doing it on our own because our thinking is driving us because we listened to that which we shouldn't. And so what Paul is saying, it's a real gift to put this helmet to protect my mind. To protect my mind by knowing that I am a redeemed child of God. In those times where Martin Luther had deep depression, he would often, you've heard this wonderful quote, respond in the midst of it, "Satan, you say I'm worthless. You say I'm a sinner. You say I have no value. You're right, but what of it? I'm a baptized child of God. I have this helmet of salvation, and it keeps thoughts that the evil one can use to defeat me from entering in." We need to be protective, as we read in Philippians 4. It gives us a screen of things we're to think about in Philippians 4:8. We need to be ruthless about what we think about. If you saw me putting a little poison into your water bottle or your glass of tea, you would probably be quite upset. And you probably wouldn't if I said, "Well, I'm just going to put a little bit." No. It's a whole lot easier to let it bounce off of that helmet of you being a redeemed child of God, so you don't have to then wrestle with it to get rid of it. And that's a gift. It keeps us prepared. Then we see the sixth piece, as I'm trying to pick up a little speed, is in the middle of verse 17. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord." And we see here, it's the word of Christ, the sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive article we have. All the others are defensive articles. This is the only offensive article we have. We have the word of God. And we defeat the enemy by the word of God. It's our sword of the Spirit. And then we are to pray at all times and in all things. And prayer is what keeps us in communion. Now, there's one part of the body that there's no armor for. There's no armor for the back. There's no armor for the back. For in Paul's understanding, like Peter's and others, we're not to run from out of fear. We have that wonderful promise that is probably politically incorrect, so I apologize up front. But another old movie, the Dirty Harry movies. You remember those movies? Remember what he said to that one young gentleman, telling him, "I hope this is your lucky day, because this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful weapon known to humanity." Well, I like to call it, Christians have a 44. It's the most powerful weapon known to mankind. It's 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have protection for our back because we don't need it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But let me close by saying, got to have armor that you believe in. I was doing some research a week or so ago, and there was a retired Marine that started an armor, body armor company. You can Google this, it's all out there. But he filed for bankruptcy and he had judgments against him in 2004, so this is some time ago. Richard Davis was his name, and he started a company called Second Chance Body Armor. But there was a problem with this. He sold lots of it before he went bankrupt. The body armor looked beautiful. It had all the bells and whistles. The price was reasonable. It had great recommendations. But it had a real problem that sort of is... not real good when you're selling body armor, especially if you call it second chance body armor. Field tests began to show over time his body armor was only effective 50% of the time. And what happened is departments that had hired or purchased this armor, not surprisingly, they had guys not want to be on their force anymore. If you're only going to issue body armor to me that's effective 50% of the time. Brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is we must have armor that we absolutely know will be effective 100% of the time. There's no other guarantees except for the Word of God. And we can trust it. We can trust it because we've seen that it's true. We can trust it because every time we've tested it or others have tested it, as that old hymn says, we've proved him true over and over. We can test it. I mean, we can trust it because it's tested. And it'll protect us 100% of the time. A song that is probably 50 years old, but when I was starting to become serious in my faith, he was one of my favorite musicians. His name is Andre Crouch. And there's a song I'd like to close with that speaks about how we can trust this armor. And you know. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. I've learned to depend upon His work. I've had many tears and sorrows and questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, He gave me consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know I was His own. I thank God for the mountains and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for all the storms He brought me through. For if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. And I wouldn't know what my faith in God can do through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Brothers and sisters, we are prepared with the Christian's armor that we can trust in. Now let us just put it on and stand to His glory. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We lift our hearts and souls to you, Lord God, for you made creation out of nothing, and in Abraham you called the people to be your own. You crafted a destiny for your children from the barrenness of despair and the wilderness of sin. You made an everlasting covenant that bound you and humanity to be with one another forever. In Jesus, you made a new covenant that embodied humankind's full presence before you, and your full presence before humankind. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Uniting God, you bind yourself to us in Christ's death, and you bind us to yourself in Christ's resurrection. In him we are dead to sin and alive to you. Send now your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this meal in his memory, that we might be a ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven people, delivered from the curse of slavery, and that this bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, again, took the cup, and he gave you thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Jealous God, you want us for yourself, and you teach us to shape all our loves as ways of loving you. Give your consolation to all who live with no peace, but only a sword. Dwell with those who find their household divided, son against father, mother against daughter, and any who find it hard to love you and to cherish their family members too. Restore your church that it may discover you on the way of the cross and find its life by losing it for your sake, until the day when you are the joy of our desiring and we the joy of yours, when every eye shall behold you and every tongue confess you as Lord. One and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Christ extended these gifts to the first disciples, so I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to receive his very body, his very blood, for the strengthening of our souls, for the proclamation of his gospel, and as remembrance that he is our Passover lamb. The feast is spread. Let us therefore keep it.
Gracious Lord, thank you that having heard your word, received your spirit, communed with you at table, we know, for you speak only the truth, that we are fully equipped for everything in life, in faith, in our being. May we stand then, not in our strength, but in the strength of the one that we put on that covers us, that strengthens us for the living of this day. And we give you thanks, our one and only King. May we, through your Spirit, seek to be good soldiers in your kingdom's army. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close by singing "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder," which is in the cover of the hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.